This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, send us an email, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, later on during the week, we'll be giving away hockey tickets and tickets for MSU basketball. So give us a call at 887-4783. That's 884-4783. 884-4783. For your chance to win hockey tickets or basketball tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. And our guests over the first half hour are going to be talking sports with Al Martin, who works for WLNS-TV, Channel 6, a reporter over there. So we haven't had Al on before, so we want to welcome him and get him in for the first time here on AM 870. Al, nice to have you with us today.
Oh, truly a pleasure, Earl, a legend of Lansing sports report, and it's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're here. I'm just an old man who's been here a long time.
You did your job well.
Hey, we want to talk a little basketball with you and a little football with you. As you know, the Spartans are in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That starts, they play tomorrow night, playing at Miami. Tonight, Michigan's playing North Carolina State tonight. How do you view the ACC Challenge? How do you view that? Because, you know, I don't know, some people think it's just a nothing, just right. another, you know, game. So how do you view it? Do you think it's important at all or anything?
Well, for Michigan State right now, I really think it is an important part as far as they're concerned and their status right now. I mean, they played some games right now where they've really kind of not won convincingly as they should have against Oakland and against Louisiana Lafayette, in which they won only by 3 points. And they've been missing Travis Trice and Harris. So they come back tomorrow at Miami, and it'll be interesting to see how they fit into the offense.
Yes, it will, because they talked to them both last night, and it'll be interesting to see. Like you say, how they fit in, because they missed a lot of time, and that's always it's always a period of adjustment when you have to come back. Also, we're going to talk a little football today, and we've got do we have a caller on the line? Okay, we don't. Okay, give us a call. The numbers to call again: 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. When you look at basketball, how do you think the team is so far this year? How would you capitalize or quantify how you think the Spartans are?
Right now, Earl, I must say this. I think they're still trying to find themselves this year. Right now, you bring in a lot of guys, freshmen, I would say, like Harris, Valentine. And out there right now, if you look at the last game, they had a lot of turnovers. Turnovers were the mantra of that day. And it seems as though they're still trying to figure out each other's tendencies, where each other wants to take shots on the floor. But one shining light, I will say, is Keith Appling. Keith Appling has been great throughout this first stretch of the first half. He looks very confident and is really emerging as a leader out there, I think.
Yes, he has been. Well, we got a caller on the line. We've got Ray from Fort Wayne. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Christmas and Happy New Year early.
Same to you, buddy.
Hey, couple questions I got. You know, the Bullies got beat up by Ohio State. That gave them 4 losses for the year. Yep. I know they'll probably give them some Super Bowl, even though they've got 4 losses. And I wonder what your bowl your team, Michigan State, would be going to in Michigan.
Well, it looks like we're going out to Arizona. Michigan State is for the Beefeaters are some kind of bowl.
Buffalo Wild Wings bowl,
yeah. Yes. And it looks like they'll be at the Capital One Bowl in Florida. You know, Michigan State's been to that one before several times. So.
You mean Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan will be there.
Well,
that
I figured
one.
They'd get a better bowl than they deserve. They always do that. But I hope they play somebody like South Carolina or Clemson. That way they'll get beat up good.
Well, they're gonna have a tough opponent, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Very true, very true.
Earl, you know that I never did get my season tickets back. You know the right. Courage of Michigan. They sent me a thing out in the mail. Never told me about my season tickets. I got the trespassing charge dropped after a year, even though I didn't do anything wrong. And they asked me to send them $1,000 in the mail. The same guys that I give chocolates, nailed Victor's ink pens, David Brandon and Lloyd Carr. The guts of people. The guts of people. Can you believe somebody would send you ask you to send them $1,000 in the mail when they revoked your season tickets and never give you an explanation why they did it?
Of course. Ain't of course, that's the way the world works today.
I know, but that's I'm just saying, ain't that a mean-spirited world? I send them guys a Christmas card every year, asking to please call me back, and they never call me back. But yet they can send me a thing in the mail, asking me to send them another $1,000.
Yeah, oh, well, as you know, Ray, they're just a form letter.
Right.
It's just a form letter. So, you know, no one probably even seen it or anything. They just send them out to all the potential donors who they think would be potential donors. I know you're not a potential donor anymore, but, you know, you're going to get one because you're on the list. But, hey, that's okay. Give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll-free 877-9527-870. And when you look at this basketball team, it looks like now, finally, we're seeing a little bit more playing time for Matt Costello. It looks like he's working his way in the group. And also, Alex Garner's getting some pretty good playing time.
Yes, without a doubt. And I think their opportunity really arrives when, you know, you had those two injuries to Harris and Trice. Guys had to play more. And you put in those, like Ghana and Costello, they came in and they were productive. They played hard. You know, there were a few moments in there where, of course, Tom Izzo wasn't happy with him, but Tom Izzo is a hard man to please at times. But they looked good. They played hard, and I think they will be a big factor as the season goes on. They can definitely come in and relieve some guys and get them some good minutes.
Yes, and hopefully the fans will be patient with them because, as you know, I know for these years, fans get very impatient very quickly.
Especially MSU fans. Trust me, coming from a Spartan, I'm very critical of the team, but, you know, just give them some time. You got to realize these guys are still young guys. They're in college. They're kids. So they go out there, they play their hardest, and we have to understand that. We have to find that line and really put that in perspective also.
Yes, a lot of times I think they think like they treat them like they have enough knowledge of pros, and they don't have that kind of knowledge. But they get treated like that way by a lot of the fans do anyway.
Exactly. I think that comes from the perspective that these guys are athletes. They're on a national stage, especially at a school like Michigan State. This is a Big Ten college school, Big Ten sports. You're seeing them on TV all the time, so you kind of hold them, well, fans hold them to the light that they are pros, but they're still learning. They're not pros out there like LeBron James or Dwayne Wade. These guys are still trying to earn their keep and try to make it to that level. So we got to understand that these guys are still kids.
Yeah. Now, how do you see the team progressing with these? The ACC games will be tough. Then they've got some softer games until the Big Ten season, which will be starting at the end of December.
I think that, like you said, a good way to put it, softer teams going on. I think that will really kind of boost their confidence and really let them give them an opportunity to find themselves. Because I think what Michigan State has done looking at their schedule, they've played some tough teams at the beginning of the schedule. When you look at it in comparison to Michigan, I don't think Michigan has really been tested yet. But Michigan State, I mean, they've played UConn already. I mean, they've really had to been thrown into the fire early. So as the season progresses, I think that they will find themselves, and during that stretch of soft teams, I guess you could put it, Errol, they will really try to try some things out and see where they are as a team.
Yeah, that's true. Now, let's turn to football for a second, because for me, it was a disappointing season, of course. 6-6, I thought they'd win at least 8 or 9 games, but it didn't turn out that way. The defense played well. They're a pretty good defensive team. The offense, they struggled for the most part, other than Le'Veon Bell, who was a good runner. Not a great runner, but he's a good runner, and yes, he did run for a lot of yards. But how did you characterize this whole season?
Well, this season was definitely a disappointment. I mean, Michigan State is a team who, throughout the past 3 or 4 years, or even I would even say 6 years, because this is their 6th straight bowl appearance, they've really shocked the nation and really asserted themselves as one of the best college football teams in the nation. And I think we came in this year with those same expectations. And it really, like you said, we're going to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, Errol. You know what I mean? We had high expectations for this team to go to a higher seed bowl, possibly the Rose Bowl. That was what everybody was talking about before the season started. And like you said, the defense has always produced great. They played outstanding. But when you look at the offensive end, you're coming in with a young quarterback in Andrew Maxwell. He's really trying to find himself. He really kind of, in my opinion, lacked confidence as the season started. But, you know, and that's why Le'Veon Bell got so many carries, because, I mean, there was rarely a time when you saw Andrew Maxwell fully comfortable and just launching the ball down the field. So the offense was really the key where I saw Michigan State really suffer this year.
Yes, and, of course, the receiving core, he had a lot of new receivers this year. Right. A lot of guys who, if they had last year's receiving core, they would at least been dependable.
Right.
And he didn't have really any dependable receivers. Some of them, they got better as the season went along, but which was a given. And that's the thing. I try to tell folks, well, you know, you got to understand, I mean, they're young and they're learning. I mean, that it's just the right process they have to go through. The quarterback, he has to go through it. I mean, they just, you know, they can't come out in first game or two games and be ready to play and just do everything right. It's just a process that right you have to go through.
Right, I totally agree. And like you said, that you mentioned all the drop passes that these guys had. I mean, you had Fowler and Lippitt out there who are very good athletes, but they really didn't. They just couldn't catch the ball. Right. But then you had a moment in there when Aaron Burbidge came off the bench, and he had that one huge game when I remember D'Antonio sat down Fowler and started Burbidge. He was a shining light. So they were never really consistent. The receivers were never really consistent, and that's not helping a young quarterback in Andrew Maxwell, I tell you that.
No, it didn't. And that you know, because somebody has to step up. And we were constantly asking guys to step up all year long, and they just didn't step up. Hey, right, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. High school basketball girls start tonight. You're going to be heading out to some high school games this weekend?
Oh, yes, I will. I'm not sure which ones yet. Got to talk to Fred and Kevin, but yeah, high school. I'm excited. I'm a hoops guy, so I cannot wait to get out there and start covering some hoops. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it should be some good games, and that's the one thing I like about this area. We've got good basketball here in the mid-Michigan area, so you should be out. I know I'll be out at some games, unless I go over to the hockey game Friday night.
Right. I forget that they're playing.
Yes,
yeah, you're right.
The hockey, I'll either be there or I'll be going to one of the hoops games. Girls or boys, I think the girls start first this year.
Yeah, they do.
It's another thing. For sports guys that like us, it's a season that never stops.
And that's what I love about Michigan, because here you get the best of all worlds, I would like to say. You get college, you get high school, you get the pros sometimes with the Tigers. I love it.
Yeah, the pros, we don't want to need to talk about the Lions.
Oh, we do not. Oh, man, that's depressing. I just got depressed now with you even mentioning their name. Oh, my goodness, man.
The time is 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
On Talk of the Nation, we tackle the day's issues and discuss the topics that matter to you. We take the time to explore every angle of a story, and we do it all live with your help. Find out what everyone is talking about. I'm Neil Conan. Tune in and join the conversation next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather. Today will be partly sunny, and we're expecting a high of 36 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Look for a low of 25. Partly sunny and a high in the upper 30s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 42 Thursday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, the Heisman Trophy will be coming up soon, and I know who I'm voting for, who I got on my ballot, but I got Manti Te'o at the top. Yes, he's the best out there, and one thing I did this year, as I told the guy who runs the Heisman, I said I put two defensive players on my ballot this year. Haven't done that in many. I don't know if I've ever done that before, but I like him and I like Roosevelt Clowney. is my other
nice.
One.
Nice.
So those are my two guys I put at the top. He's going to even now. He's going to look at that Clowney vote. I said, hey, Clowney is really. I said he just had an outstanding.
He's
year.
Impressive. He's definitely is. Impressive. What's up with Johnny Football though, Earl? Well, what do you think about Johnny Football?
He's good, but I don't think he's ready yet. But you know, he's got three more years or two more years, so he'll get plenty of votes. He might get voted this year. But I'm not jumping on a freshman's head right now. So he's got time to learn and get it together.
It will definitely, like you said, it would definitely shock me if Johnny Football wins the Heisman. Because like you said, he's a freshman. And to be able to do what he's done as a freshman simply alone is very impressive. But you get, I don't know, it may happen.
It may, but people want to forget that he's come playing for a good, I mean, Texas A&M is a good, solid team.
Yes, they are.
And they've got all the other pieces are together. And then when you put a quarterback who's on a good team like that, hard for him to fail.
Right,
it's a very solid team, a very good team, and I'm impressed that, you know, it's impressive because he's his first year in the SEC.
Right.
That's what makes it so impressive, and even though he's a freshman, he's starting off in the SEC, and he's done a very good job.
Yes, he has. He's definitely impressed me. Like you said, as a freshman, they do help him. They do make him look good. You know what I mean? He's got a good receiving core. It's just a good team in general over there.
It is.
And so it was shocking that he was doing it as a freshman, but it wasn't shocking when you look at the overall picture, I guess you can say. But you can't go wrong with Manti Te'o. That man is something else.
He's had a heck of a year.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
He is so tough. I mean, he is so tough defensively. It's like I said, it's hard to go against him. And he's had such a great year just from the get-go. And what he did to Michigan State in Michigan, I mean, he's really had an awesome year. So I look at him, and I think he's the best one. I'd be surprised, all honesty, if he doesn't win it. I've heard so many people just talking his name, and I think that a lot of people are going to put him first on their ballot.
I think so too. I mean, like you said, you can't go wrong with either one. And what impresses me about Manti Te'o is because he's on the defensive end, and he's so smart. He knows where the ball is going to be. He's a great defender. He's an unbelievable tackler. But the way he reads the defense is so ahead of his time right now. And it's just going to be interesting to see how as he goes to the pros and progresses.
Yes, and Clowney, as I've told the other guys, I said the thing is that every game plan, they're not running towards his way. Every game, you see them, they're running away from where he is or wherever he lines
up. And
he finds a way in there, some kind of way.
Right.
But they're always avoiding him, that's for sure.
Right, without a doubt. I agree with your vote, man. I can't go wrong. But we'll see if the Johnny Football hype oversees that.
Might.
It'll be interesting to see that.
It might. It'll be, like you say, yes, it will. It will be interesting to see. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Looked at the Pistons last night, and they won a game that they've won three home games in a row, so that's good for them. And Knight led the balanced attack, and I've really been impressed with Greg Monroe so far this year.
That's everywhere with Greg Monroe. Greg Monroe has been, to me, the most consistent Piston if you look down the past 3 years right now. And the Pistons right now, I really think it all comes down to the guards for them, though. The guards have to play well. I think the big men, and I don't know why Drummond and Monroe don't start more together down there. I think if you put those two down there, that'd be an absolute powerhouse. So, hey, that's coaching. No, if I was a coach, I would put them down. I think that'd be great. But it comes down to the guards. I think the guards have to play well, and it comes down to them.
They'll have to play well, and Drummond is still learning. He doesn't know his head from anything else.
Right, very true. Very, very true. But I say throw him out there in the fire. You can't. Still the beginning of the season. Let's see what happens, you know?
Yeah, well, you might get that pretty soon, or that might happen. So, you know, when I still see people, and they're putting articles in here about that Michigan State-Minnesota game.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota was such a bad team.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard for me to say anything very complimentary about that game and the way they played. I mean, that was just a terrible team, and they did what they had to do. They took them apart.
Yeah, exactly. They picked them apart, quarter by quarter. And you know, Michigan State came in there with a businessman like mentality. They knew that it was a must win for them to get into the bowl. They went out there. It wasn't easy though. Sometimes, but they handled their business. You know, and I'm just happy to see them in the bowl and to see what happens now. And I think if you look at this bowl game, though, Earl, I think this is good for Michigan State, because I think this gives them a game to just practice and try to just get a more of a feel with each other on a bigger stage, because I think they need it.
Yes. Oh, that's true. And it's also, of course, all the extra practices that'll help them for next year. They'll get these guys a little bit more in tune. And when you look at this team, look at them for next year, because, you know, we have to do that for next year. I'm not sure how good this team is, especially if the guys we know might go pro. You know, if Le'Veon goes pro and the other guys go pro, the Indian Sims goes pro, and of course, the defensive side. So if those guys, if the three big three go pro, how do you think this team will be next year?
That's going to really hurt them, Earl. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's good, because if you look at the bulk of the offense right now, Le'Veon really carried this team. And when I saw at the beginning of the season how much they were running him, the wear and tear on Le'Veon Bell at the beginning of this year, I honestly didn't think he would last up to this point. He has done a remarkable job. I thought he was going to get, God forbid, but get hurt or something if the way they were running him, but they just kept on, and he's lasted up until the bowl. So, but if those guys leave, I mean, then if you look at the receiving core, Deion Sims has been the most consistent receiver for Andrew Maxwell. Every time he's in the bind, you can always count on him to throw to Deion and make something happen, if anything. So if those guys leave and go pro like we are speculating right now, it could be – that could definitely hurt them. The recruiting is going to have to be very good, Earl.
Yes, and when I get in debate with some of our colleagues and stuff, I ask them, my question is, why should they stay?
Right.
Why should they stay? Why should they hang around and try to help this team get better?
Right. Very, very true. I mean, if you look at them right now, their draft their draft numbers right now will be unbelievable. I mean, if you look at Le'Veon Bell, he was just named to the Big Ten, all first team in the Big Ten right now. You know, Deion Sims is a heck of a player. I mean, these guys right now, as far as their draft stock is concerned, it wouldn't hurt them to leave right now. You know, I don't see Le'Veon, unless they run him to death again next year, I don't see his numbers getting better. You know what I mean? We'll see.
Yeah and that's it, yeah, because if you're a running back, you want to be in a situation where you're going to get the ball, that's for sure. He'll get the ball even more so, just like our compatriot who Javon Ringer, who had this. I mean, they just ran him to death. And so if you're in that situation, that for a running back, you love that because you want to run the ball.
Exactly. And when you look at the longevity of the running back, the way they're running, like I always go back to this, the way they're running Le'Veon Bell, it would be best for him to enter the league early and not late.
Yes, it would. And that would be a plus for him. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, do you follow the hockey team that much?
Yeah, I've been watching a few games. Okay. I've been able to catch it here and there. You know, we cover everything at WLNS, so I got to make sure I'm adequate in everything. So.
So how do you think the Spartans are so far?
Well, right now, I think they have a solid team. But I don't know how they will, if they can continue the success they've had so far. They've struggled a little bit so far as the season progressed, but I don't know if we'll see if they can settle down and really, I think they're still trying to find themselves, Earl.
Yeah, and of course, they got Ohio State coming up this weekend, and that's going to be interesting when we have the Big Ten Hockey League next year. That, to me, that's going to be very intriguing and how that all plays out.
Yes, without a doubt. When you look at MSU's hockey team, they're so young, Earl. You know, they got a lot of freshmen. And when you look at where the leadership comes from this team, it's still really up in the air, I think. And as they progress down the line, I think they will find themselves. But right now, they're still a young team and still trying to find their offense. So, you know, we'll see as the season progresses. Like you said, this Ohio State game will truly be a test for them. So.
Yeah, yes, it will be a tough weekend. Well, the basketball team has Miami tomorrow night in Miami. I'm not that big on road games. I mean, you know, yes, the road team does have an advantage, but Michigan State, they're so used to playing on the road. I just don't give it – doesn't look – to me, it just doesn't seem that big of a deal when they play on the road so much.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you look at the first stretch of the season, I mean, they were all the way in Germany. I mean, they haven't been really home – well, they just came off a nice little home stretch, but – Michigan State, like you said, they've been everywhere. So I think when they go into another stadium, that really doesn't bother them now. You know, it may have at the beginning of the season with, you know, all the young players like Harris. I know he was kind of – Izzo talked about how Harris came into the game at Germany kind of shell-shocked, and that kind of that kind of shocked him in a way. But now, I mean, these guys are settled down. They know what playing on the road is like.
Yes. Now, when we talk high school basketball, we've seen, of course, state champions. Carlton Valentine won two state championships with Lansing Sexton for the last couple of years. High school basketball in the area has really gotten good over the years. I mean, especially the last couple of years with Sexton winning the Class B back-to-back. But this is something that it really become a very special in the Mid-Michigan area.
Yes, it has, Earl. And I remember covering, you know, Denzel and his dad and that Sexton team last year and just so impressed. I mean, Carlton Valentine out there at Sexton is really a teacher, and he really cares about the players, and he's a mastermind. He knows how to get the best out of each player, and that shows each and every year. And, you know, in Michigan period, though, I mean, you got a lot of powerhouses out there, and they can really compete with schools from all over the area. You know what I mean? I think they can give some teams from Detroit a good run.
Oh, yes.
Without a doubt.
They can. I mean, I told Carlton earlier, I said, I was here and saw you when you came in as a player. And then I've seen your two sons play here and graduate.
Right.
That means I'm really old.
But with age comes wisdom, Earl. With age comes wisdom, brother. So, yes, that's a blessing to be able to see that, man. I wish I could have got to see Carlton Valentine play back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him play. I even played pickup basketball with him for a few times in a year. So
wow,
we used to do that at times. So yeah, I've seen a lot of games over the years. As I told Tom, I mean, I was here when me and him used to sit in his office, which was really smaller than this area right here.
Right.
When he was a grad student.
Wow.
And so we used to talk, and so I've been knowing Tom a long time.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, so it's been interesting, needless to say.
I bet.
You know?
So you're telling me you used to play pickup basketball, you and Carlton Valentine.
Yes,
how good were you, Earl? How good were you?
Just I wasn't curious. Very good. They carried me.
Gotcha.
They carried me on the team.
Point guard?
I was a good defender.
Nice.
That's why I got picked up, because I would defend, and basically I was considered a hacker.
Oh, right. Okay, you played bad boys basketball. Like
yes, I did.
Gotcha. Well, that's what I loved about basketball back in the day, because you could do that. Now we've gotten soft in hoops today.
Yeah, because I never had to hardly worry about anybody coming in my territory.
They were scared. They were probably too scared to come down there.
Yeah, that
Vicious
what happened.
Earl.
that was the name. Unfortunately, it was a lot of fun, though. We had a lot of fun back in those days.
Oh, boy.
Carlton and I and some of the other guys, we used to go play in some of the prisons sometime. We did that.
Wow.
You know, and I fouled out of some of those games so quickly.
2 minutes into the game, Earl has six already.
Basically.
Oh, boy. That's funny. That's hilarious, Earl.
Yeah. Hey, so let's see. We haven't talked much about the pros. I mean, the Lions are... I don't know what you can say about the Lions. I mean, they're 4-7, and I sort of thought they would be this way. I mean, I thought they might make the playoffs, but it would be like a 9-7, maybe 10-6. I was very questionable about how good they do, just because all the teams that the Lions face now, they're coming in prepared to play them. I mean, everyone knows they've got such a good offense. You know, they can't. Right. They used to just come in and play a half and get a win, but
right.
Now they've got to be prepared to play from the beginning, and that's what everybody that comes in, they're ready to face the Lions, because they know the Lions are a good team, and that's what happens when you get to that point where you're a good team. You're in for a lot of trouble, and the Lions have had a lot of trouble this year, just because everyone knows, hey, this is a good team. You can't just come in and walk over them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Earl, that's a great point. I mean, last year this team, you know, when you talk about the Lions, I mean, everybody was kind of like, oh, the Lions, we'll beat them. But the Lions had a great team last year. They have a good team this year. But like you said, teams are more prepared, especially
yes.
when you look at the offensive end. looking at what they do to Calvin Johnson every game, they got at least two to three guys. Calvin Johnson has not been getting off like he did last year because they're sending two to three defensive backs on him every single time he's down the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the Lions, I came in this season with very high expectations for him because looking at what they did last year was tremendous. You know what I mean? It was tremendous. I mean, it hadn't been done in Detroit in quite a long time to hear the Lions in the playoffs. So, you know, when you look at this team and how they've performed so far, they definitely performed below expectations, and they could have won a lot of games, but they tried to treat the fourth quarter like a light switch, as I call it. They tried to turn it on in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. They would have an unbelievable fourth quarter, but then still end up losing the game because you got to play like that each and every quarter. You can't turn it on, you know, at the end of the game and expect to win, Earl.
Yes, for sure. Well, let's say we got another caller on the line. We got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Pretty good. You?
Okay.
I was just doing a whole bunch of stuff, and I heard you mention the Lions, so I had to run into the room and give you a call. The Lions' problem is very simple to me. Number one, their play calling on offense and defense isn't that good. I've always been critical of the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. And the other thing with the Lions' offense is they just don't have the running game. Now, they've got LeSure at running back. Give this guy 2 years, he's going to be something else. He still needs to figure out how to run the ball in the NFL.
Well, you know, they got to give him the ball for him to figure out how to run it.
They really do. That's what I mean by his play selection. I mean, giving this guy the ball 8, 10, 12 times a game, that's not going to cut it.
No, that's right.
Right, totally agree. I mean, LeSure has definitely proven himself that he can be a tandem back in this league. You know, you got to give him the ball and give him a shot. And I do agree that that sometimes, you know, Ray, the play calling has been very, very questionable for the Lions. I think that has contributed to their demise. But I think the Lions have, like you said, to go back to that fourth quarter. I mean, the Lions have just played iffy through three quarters, the first three quarters of the game, and then in the fourth quarter, looking like an entirely tired, different team. You know what I mean? So
right, and you can't do that unless you have a lot of talent on a team.
Right.
So
right.
The potential was there. This year is that setback and disappointment that no one wanted after last year, after finally getting to the playoffs. But in professional sports, in all sports, but in professional sports, you're going to have those setbacks.
Oh, so true. So true. Right. You will have those from time to time. And hopefully, that's the one thing I say, hopefully the Lions will get better. And they'll have to bounce back now because everybody's going to come in prepared for playing the Lions, so now it's time for them to take the next step.
Exactly, yeah. And if they just, you know, can stay together as a team and the ownership and the fans don't get goofy and start talking all this, get rid of Schwartz, the coach stuff, they'll be all right, you know, 2-3 years down the road, but you're going to have to give them time because, you know, they've got to start all over. You start over every year, but next year the Lions have got to start at square one.
Yeah, right. That's true.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's one thing with the Lions. Like you say, they've got to start every year. They've got to come back and hopefully be a strong team again because they've got to be more prepared because their opponents are coming in much more prepared now. The Lions have to match that kind of aggression right from the get-go.
Without a doubt, Earl. I mean, poor preparation leads to poor production, you know, and it really comes down to the Lions really just saying, hey, because they have the pieces. They have the pieces there. It's just about, I question the Lions' effort at times when I look at their certain games. And specifically looking back at the defense, I think that the Lions right now, their defensive backs have been getting really, especially at the beginning stretch of the season, we're getting beat all the time, and that really, really hurt them. I mean, because when you look at the scoreboard, the Lions were down all the time, and Matthew Stafford had to pull out some magic out of his hat. And that defensive back and core has to get better for the Lions to be successful, I think so.
Yes. Now, in case you might have missed this yesterday, mm-hmm. The Grey Cup was yesterday.
The Grey Cup was yesterday. Oh,
the Canadian Championship.
Yes. I caught that. We had it rolling actually at the station, but yes. I didn't watch those.
Yeah, Toronto won it, and Calgary had L. Michael Dean, who played for Michigan State last year.
Really?
Yes, he was the starter on the Calgary team. So
wow.
He got in the championship for as a rookie. Pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's very, very good, actually. In the Canadian Championship, the Super Bowl of Canada football?
Yep,
oh, man. I caught it. I didn't watch the whole game, though. world, but I did catch it on TV a little bit.
Yeah, I caught some of it, and Gordon Lightfoot performing at halftime. And
nice.
Yeah, so it was a good crowd, and a very good crowd, very good turnout there.
Wow.
And the time now is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Dolly Parton's story is literally rags to riches. From the coat of many colors her mama made for her to the top of the country music charts, she always knew she'd make it and told her high school class so.
The whole place laughed out loud. I guess I showed them, huh?
The secret? Dream more. I'm Neil Cohn and the inimitable Dolly Parton. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast is for a partly sunny day. Our high will be 36 degrees. The low in the mid-20s tonight and mostly cloudy. Wednesday's forecast, partly sunny with a high of 39. And mostly sunny on Thursday. The high will be 42. I'm Scott Pohl.
And I want to thank you. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or hockey, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey or MSU basketball. Hey, Al, I want to thank you for being with me.
Hey,
Al
no
Martin
problem.
Here from WLNS TV, Channel 6. Glad you could come in and talk sports with me, buddy.
Truly
appreciate
a
it.
Pleasure, Earl. I'll look forward to the next time.
Okay, we'll do it again, that's for sure.
All right.
Okay, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. Once again, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. And I've got a few cuts for you, Aaron. We've got a couple of cuts over here from the MSU basketball. And we had a chance to talk yesterday with Travis Trice. And he says, talked about the feeling in his right arm as he's feeling better. And he's ready to get back into action tomorrow night.
Still up in the air. Really, it's not in my hands or his hands. It's really up to the doctors right now about what I can do. Today was the big test day to see how you can do. They said you pass your concussion test now. We're going to see how you feel. And it's even going to go tomorrow. They want to know how I feel in the morning. They call me every morning and say, how you feeling right now? So.
And yes, and also he had to talk about his back. He had some problems with his back as well. So here is Travis Trice once again.
The game, he's always like, man, when are you coming back? That's the first thing he says. Or even in practice, he's like, man, when are you coming back? Because he's not getting any breaks. So I told him today, there's a couple times I say, hey, I'll get you. Go get your rest now. So he's liking I'm back.
Yes, Keith Appling, yes, he wants him to come back. He says, yes, he needs him to come back, give him a break, and playing 40 minutes a game. So getting a little tired from playing that long. We also had a chance to talk with Gary Harris and talked about his injury. And here's what Gary had to say about his injury.
I was going out. I thought he was going to go under the screen, and he came back out. So I just pushed off the defender, and next thing you know, my shoulder just everything just came out of place, and it popped back in at the same time. And like I lost feeling all the way down to my finger. So I mean, I really couldn't feel anything. So I thought it was just a stinger at first, but I mean, the feeling really didn't go away until the game was about over, and I knew I had something was wrong.
Yes, and Gary also talked about the shoulder and some of the things he's been going through in rehab.
I've been working with Q, the trainer. I mean, we've been doing a lot of rehab, exercises, strengthening just to get my muscles around my shoulder stronger so I don't have to worry about my shoulder popping back out of place. So, I mean, we've just been doing a lot of rehab exercises.
And yes, that's what he's been doing. So, but you should see them both on the court tomorrow night. How long we'll see them, no one knows. So, but they'll probably be on the court for some stretch of time, or a little stretch of time, or could be a little bit longer. But I know the other guys would be glad to have them back.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Earl.
Yes, they will.
You know, with Appling, he really needs the rest. Like you said, he's playing 40 minutes a game. He's going to need the rest. They're trying to Le'Veon him, I guess you could say.
yes, he is. And he's playing to a big time trooper. That's for sure.
Right.
And Aaron, Aaron's been following the basketball team a little bit, so he's, you know, so what Aaron? What, give me your take on this basketball team. I mean, you've been looking at it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a simple matter of really just, you know, everyone's trying to learn to play together. I mean, you got a lot of young, talented guys, and obviously, you know, Harris with his injuries kind of had a setback. You know, Izzo kind of, you know, he's hinted at it yesterday too a little bit, is trying to find the right lineup. I mean, you know, he's got to figure out who's going to play with who. You know, he said that, you know, Nixon Payne had never played before together. So that's something new that they got to work together, you know, at that too. I mean, they obviously have the talent to, you know, win a lot of games. It's just a matter of finding that balance and bringing people in at the right time and those kind of things. So luckily for Michigan State, I think they got a pretty favorable schedule coming up for the good amount of games before they really get into the Big Ten. Obviously, the Big Ten is easily the best, you know, conference this year in basketball. But so I think they got it's going to help them. They got some games where they can maybe try a few things where they can really figure that out before they get into really to the meat of their schedule.
Do you get anything out of this Big Ten ACC challenge?
I used to, but I feel like it's gotten to a point. It's just they've done it too much that. You know, I think it's nice that they do it, that it's just not a regular – you know, there's some hype about it, which is nice early in the season, so I guess I'll give them that. But kind of each year it kind of gets lower and lower in excitement for me. But, you know, I think it's something that you can – I guess you can sort of brag about if you're the conference, either conference, depending on, you know, who wins it. So it's something to brag about. I think it adds something to it, but – you know, each year that it passes, that something like this happens, it kind of loses a little bit of its luster. So maybe they can change it. Maybe that, you know, maybe from, you know, a couple of years down the road, they challenge another conference or something, then go back to the ACC. Maybe they switch it up. I don't know. That's something to think about.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about, because with you too, Al, is Michigan, you know, they've because John Beilein has done a very good job down there, and he's made the rivalry a rivalry again between Michigan and Michigan State. Tom Izzo had made it for a long time; it hasn't been a rivalry, but now it looks like it's going to be a rivalry again.
Yes, they definitely look good. Michigan is. If you would have told me Michigan would be undefeated right now to start the season, I would have laughed at you. And they've really. I mean, if you look at Tim Hardaway Jr. and you look at Burke, I mean, they look great right now. They have really been efficient in moving the ball. The production has been, you know, split up evenly between each player. They look good defensively also. So it will be definitely interesting to see. I still think the Spartans are going to pull it out just because of the guard play. I think their guards are even though you got Tim Hardaway Jr. over there, I think the guards will outplay Michigan's guards. And if you look at the big men down there, I think that, you know, they're going to be more commanding. But it's definitely the rivalry so far, looking at Michigan right now, the rivalry is back, I think.
I think so. I think it is back, and which is good for the state of Michigan. I think, it, of course, it's good when you win.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Earl.
And, of course, the Michigan State fans look for a win, and the Michigan fans look for a win. And so it'll be interesting to see this year of how it really goes. And then they got a picture here of Justin Verlander in the paper today. Is you know, he's out he's out playing golf. He was relaxing and playing a little golf today. But Verlander, he is a special pitcher. He really is. Yeah. He deserves all the credit he gets, and he handles it so well.
Yes, he does. That's good that he's relaxing right now, because the man, he did have an unbelievable season, and it was tough to watch, you know, the Tigers go out the way they did in the World Series. But like I said, Justin Verlander, I still believe, is the best pitcher in baseball. I think there's no one as dominant as him. And, yeah, they'll be back. They'll be back.
Okay. Well, here's a big Spartan fan for you, Al. We got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I would hope there's more than one big Michigan State fan out there. Am I the only one?
No, you're one of the few that calls.
Maybe I'm just one of the more vocal Michigan State. Now, that I will tell you. I'm glad you guys hit on this Big Ten basketball thing. And to me, you know, as a Michigan State fan, I wouldn't trade my coach for anybody. But what is really remarkable, and I kind of wish that, you know, maybe more people would notice it, even Michigan State basketball fans, is really how remarkable the coaching in the Big Ten is in basketball. I'm not going to belittle the football coaches, and obviously there are coaches around the country that are very good. But really, the talent pool for basketball coaches in the Big Ten, I don't think there's a conference that really even comes close. You look at a guy like Bo Ryan. You look at a Tom Izzo. Obviously, you brought the new guy in Illinois. John Beilein. I mean, you could name them. But, I mean, seriously, Matt Painter, Tom Crean. I mean, the guy at Iowa, I can't believe I can't think of his name. He's just Licklider. It is really, really an amazing how talented and lucky the Big Ten is to have coaches this good. And this is why, bringing it back to it, you talk about what the Big Ten is. It, you know, I see teams like Michigan State and Michigan doing well, and they do well against non-conference teams. They don't do well. But when they get into the Big Ten, they can't. It's amazing when people say, oh, Michigan State, you know, they don't run. They play so slow. Well, you know why? Because in the Big Ten, teams won't let Michigan State run.
They won't let anybody run.
Stop. And John Beilein is a very good coach. I think the game against North Carolina State will be a very close game. Two very good teams. Two teams that could be Sweet 16s easily. Well, you know what will happen? He'll play very well. He's going to come to the Big Ten, and they know his sets. They know his plays. You know, I mean, and again, he's an excellent coach. But when teams like Michigan and Michigan State, Ohio State, get into the Big Ten, Indiana, it is just a war. And it's a war because there are good players, but it's also a war because they know each other. They're amazingly well scouted, and you can't fool anybody. You can't trick. How are you going to trick a Matt Painter? Now, you may have better players, and you may win, but you're not going to fool. There's nothing that Michigan State does that he hasn't seen.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's the way it is in basketball. Yeah, it's hard to fool the coaches, and you're right. We've got very good coaching in the Big Ten, and I look at that all the time. And when you look at the Big Ten coaching, it's just so good in the Big Ten, Todd. And then they just bring it each and every week. I mean, you better come prepared to play, and that's why they do so well in the tournament. Because once they get through the regular season, so many people, just like he said, think, oh, you can't run. Big Ten team is slow. They don't run. They don't run because in the Big Ten because teams don't let them run. Nobody can run in the Big Ten.
That's right.
Everybody plays a slow down a half court basketball.
Right. Defense is definitely the pride of the Big Ten, I think. One of the prides of the Big Ten. And like you said, he made a great point because if you look at the coaching in the Big Ten Conference over the years, it's tremendous. And coaches know each other's tendencies,
styles,
and it makes it very competitive. And, you know, the Big Ten Conference has done an amazing job at just the talent pool they put out and the way they coach these players. It makes the longevity of the Big Ten just keeps on rolling and rolling because of that.
Yes, because everybody does a good job recruiting, and you can recruit well, and you get into the Big Ten. But, boy, once you get out, it's like three seasons. So you have the non-conference season. You get out, and you run a lot during non-conference. Then you have the conference. That's the slow-down portion of the schedule.
Right.
And you'll play 18 games at a snail's pace.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
And,
very
and
true.
Then of course you have the tournament. We don't even call it the Big Ten tournament, but the other tournament, the NC2A tournament. And then you see racehorse basketball.
Yeah.
Teams get out there and run and do what they can, running in base. Well, let's see. We got Jody on the line. Jody's up in Canada. Jody, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Earl? I heard you guys speaking about the Grey Cup, but being a basketball fan, I want to discuss a little bit about the hoop. You played with more guys than just V. You played with Irvin, you played with Kelsey, you played with Furlough, Sam, Kevin Willis. We can go through the years of the Grey. You know, we've been on the court with.
Yeah,
let's
that's
be
true.
Honest, you know, I'll co-sign it for you. So,
boy.
Yeah, Jordan and I played a lot.
Man.
Yeah, we played a lot of good ball players. So, but the basketball thing, I just think, is that, coaches in the Big Ten do know how to play against each other because, the scouting reports, offenses don't change.
Right.
Offense through the years, through 10 years, Tom runs a lot of the same stuff, and most of them do. That's what the success is. When you get, and I like to see teams push the rock just because, you know, you might catch somebody napping or catch somebody trotting back and you can get a quick one, you know, and, you know, that's those little things. That those are just incremental baskets. But, you know, in terms of, you're right, you know, the coaches that we have in the Big Ten are some outstanding guys. The big thing is being able to recruit. Because, you know, mm-hmm. my favorite saying somebody told me a long time ago is that you don't win with plow horses. You got to get some thoroughbreds to win the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. So you have to have kids who can play.
Yep, that's for sure.
But who are willing to work.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And you got to have, you say, that's key, having kids who are willing to work.
It's no different than anything else in the world. You know, we've gotten older. You know, now I guess we're the old heads. But, you know, when we were younger, you know, people would tell us that. And, you know, it's, whether it's not only playing ball, you know, it's everyday living. You know, you have to put your foot, you have to pay your dues and put your work in and, you know, realize it's not going to be handed to you. You know, and, you know, that's the difference between winning and losing. That and also, you know, having kids who are willing to put the work in. Because I remember when LeBron was a skinny 6'5" kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't look anything like LeBron James, because my favorite words, because, you know, my oldest was at a camp with him and they both won awards, and there's a picture of the skinny kid with an afro, and my words were, Jay, did you ever think that was going to be LeBron James? I mean, it was LeBron, but, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? LeBron James. You know?
He put in that work, and he got bigger and became a powerhouse.
There you go. You have to put your work in. So, you know, you know, it doesn't come free. That's all. I just wanted to, you know, I went to co-signer and also had my two cents.
Well, I wish I had a time machine right now.
Thanks, Jody. I appreciate it. Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, Jody's a good man. Yeah, he was a football player. He used to play football here at Michigan State back in the day.
But, gotcha.
Yeah, he played back here in the 70s. He was a good player. Of course, he had injuries like all players do from those days. He had some knee injuries and some problems. But, yeah, Jody was a good player. And then we got out there. We used to hoop a little bit in the basketball court. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah, we
the
had
days.
Fun.
Yes. Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. We had a lot of fun back in those days.
Right.
Hey, give us a call. We got time for maybe take one more call or such if you want. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Or if you wanted a chance to win tickets, you can call Aaron over there and have a chance, and he'll register you for tickets. Call us at 884-4783. That's 884-4783. Area code 517 for your chance to win tickets. We'll give them away on Thursday right here on AM 870 WKAR. 884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or MSU hockey. We'll be giving away tickets for both sports. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're just about out of time. We've only got a few minutes left. And Al, that's the thing. Talking with Jody, that brought back even more memories. You know, we had some good games back in the day. And it's funny watching the guys. When I talk with guys that I played back with, and some of them are officials now, mm-hmm. they're officiating games,
right.
And they say, Earl, these guys could never beat us.
We talk about
these high school teams and such. We're talking about all the high school guys because we've watched high school guys over the years, and they say, "Man, they don't know how to play because all they do is shoot 3-pointers now. Nobody has a mid-range game anymore."
I think the 3-point line. I was actually talking to my sports director Fred the other day about this. I mean, the 3-point line has definitely changed the way the game
is
played.
It is,
and it's kind of almost made the game soft in a way.
You don't
see that grit and grind basketball you used to have in the 80s anymore.
Mm-mm.
Probably because they changed the rules in a way with as far as fouls go. But it also has to do with that arc, you know? So,
yeah, it does. Yeah. And people, they love to just play back there. I mean, I've seen kids 7, 8 years old in the gym throwing up 3-pointers. Can't even make the rim, but they're out there at the 3-point line trying to throw a shot up.
Right, exactly. And it just shows you that the basketball culture and the way the game is played has definitely changed throughout the years, man. And, you know, I wish we had a time, like I said, I always say, I wish we had a time machine to put, you know, the old school versus the new school and see what had happened, you know?
Yeah, it would be interesting, that's for sure.
Without a doubt.
Yep. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. And Al, I want to thank you for coming in and talking sports with me right here on AM 870.
No problem.
WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And if you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And again, just call us. us up anytime and talk sports with us right here on WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So just give us a call if you thought about it. I know a lot of you think about it, but you don't pick up the phone. And that's always a problem. So I'm going to remind you, pick up the phone sometime. Yep. Pick it up and give us a call right here on AM 870. It won't cost you anything. Just a few minutes of your time and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And we love talking with you. So just give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.